This episode is brought to you by Paycor, the HR and payroll software made for leaders. It's never been harder to recruit, hire, and engage workers. That's why HR leaders and frontline managers depend on Paycor for all things people management, from onboarding and performance reviews to compensation and benefits. Learn more at paycor.com/leaders.
Todd.
Oh,
I'm supposed to do an intro. Welcome to John and Todd, or Todd and John's Monday Night Therapy Session. It was a bye week. Nebraska did not play football. And the rest of the Big Ten did. Did you watch football this weekend, Todd?
I watched a little bit. Not a whole lot. I was at a wedding. You know, and these people that schedule weddings in the fall, you know, geez, what's going on with that?
My God, my anniversary's in a month.
What's going on with that, huh?
Then there's these guys that schedule weddings on, like, what, the 4th of July when it's 105 degrees in Iowa and make guys stand up there in tuxes in their wedding party so they can collapse and pass out in front of the church. Okay. This whole wedding thing, but you didn't get to see Big Ten football. You didn't get to watch the Big Ten West.
I did not. I watched a little bit of Virginia and Syracuse. I watched a little bit of Notre Dame. I did not see any of the Big Ten play this weekend. But I did, kind of look at the results, and I read a few articles, and there were some surprising results, actually. And I think you might have been the one that said it. You know, the Big Ten West is a complete cluster, and it looks like right now there's one legitimate team in the Big Ten West, and that's the Gophers, Minnesota Gophers.
This is what I learned this weekend, Todd. That's the meme today. Will Minnesota run for 1,000 yards on Nebraska this year, won't they? And it's the meme from, I guess, Finding Neverland, where Johnny Depp turns and says something comforting to the child, which is at least they'll run the clock down on every play, which is what they did against Michigan State. I mean, they physically, you know, we have to watch the Minnesota Gophers because we have Gophers fans here in the house. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a Minnesota fan unless it's at the expense of Nebraska. But my God, they just physically beat the shit out of Michigan State. I mean, beat them up. And it was I thought Minnesota could, you know, control the ground game and kind of score some points, but their defense pretty much shut Michigan State down. And it was, I don't know, I think if I was a guy making $9.5 million a year as a head coach of the Michigan State Spartans, I'd be embarrassed by that game.
Well, you suppose the folks in Sparty is kind of thinking about that big contract they gave to Mel Tucker? You know, if you listen to some Nebraska fans, all you have to do to win, get programs turned around, is throw enough money at a guy. They threw enough money at Mel Tucker, but apparently he still has some work to do.
He does have work to do.
Just what I heard about Minnesota, they pretty much manhandled Michigan State, and it's going to take a pretty stout defense. I think the defense that might be able to slow them down a little bit in the West would probably be Iowa. But, you know, and that's a trophy game. That's a rivalry game. We'll have to see how that all shakes down. But, no, Minnesota seems right now at least be the class of the West.
I watched the Iowa-Rutgers game for a little bit until it was clear that Rutgers wasn't even going to bother showing up. You know, Iowa's offense actually scored some points.
Well, then they have two defenses.
To say, Yeah, they got two scores on defense, which is, I don't know, that's almost like selling your soul. The kind of scores they get on defense, it's like, could other teams screw up more against them or what? I don't know. Rutgers just didn't look good. I thought, you know, we play Rutgers after Indiana, and Rutgers really didn't look like they were even going to put up a fight. I was looking forward to the punting in that game. And it didn't really materialize the way I thought it would, because Iowa was capable of scoring a couple touchdowns. Let's see what else. What else? Purdue barely got past Florida Atlantic. Indiana.
Well, Indiana got whooped, and Illinois won on Thursday night. But right. I'm looking now across, to the east a little bit. Were you surprised that Michigan struggled a little bit with Maryland? Michigan beat them 34-27. I would guess that they didn't cover, would be my guess. I'm not a gambler, but that seems a little closer than what most people would have predicted.
Yeah, I watched that game. I thought Maryland, they stayed in that game just because their offense just fought. And they just kept fighting. They were a team that didn't give up. And even till the end. So that's kind of a key to actually winning games. From what I understand, we haven't seen that a lot around our parts lately, where you actually fight through a game.
Yeah. Persevere when things are tough.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. I tried to watch Ohio State, Wisconsin, but I watched about 3 minutes of it and my eyes started bleeding. And I work with these guys. One guy that I bring up is the Penn State guy, and then there's a Wisconsin guy. And he brought up that Minnesota swept Wisconsin in volleyball, and I think as a way to deflect the pain from watching his Wisconsin Badgers football team just get annihilated. I mean, Ohio State could have done whatever they wanted in that game. Who else was out there this weekend?
Well, I want to go back to that Wisconsin situation. You suppose Wisconsin fans are getting a little edgy? Maybe the seat under Paul Chryst is getting a little bit warm there?
I'm going to find that out tomorrow. I'm going to go to my customer site, and we're going to have pizza and have a big college football discussion, because that's what we do when we're supposing. Let's see. I watched watch Texas lose to Texas Tech. That was fun. And then the Texas Tech Red Raider people ran the field, and one of them pushed a Texas player. And I don't know if you've guys seen this. This is all in the news about, the two teams are, Texas is angry at Texas Tech. Because this guy did, in a video that was on social media, he just came running up behind one of the Texas players as they were leaving the field and shoved him in the back and almost knocked him down. And if you've never been on the field when people rush the field, it is a dangerous situation. I mean, you do have to kind of watch what's going on. And if you're an official or a coach or even a cheerleader, there was another video of a guy running up to a group of Texas cheerleaders and doing this right in their face, which was hilarious. But at the same time, you're kind of like, God, those poor people. I mean, they're surrounded by thousands of people that hate them. So that's never comforting. I'm missing one game. Oh, yeah. Oh, that one game, Todd. The one game where our former quarterback that everybody blamed for 4 years had the game of his life, then knocked off a top 10 team and got a signature win that he never got at Nebraska.
I saw that and I heard that, and good for him. And – that's one of those cases where, I'm like a lot of Nebraska fans. I think, when he decided or announced that he was going to leave, wishing the best. And I hold no animosity for that guy. I mean, my God, how many times was he carried off on his shield after he gave everything he had literally for Nebraska? And, I hoped for success for him. Oklahoma fell to the curse of Nebraska, the curse of the Big Red. Any team that plays Nebraska and whoops them tends to lose the following week. So, and that's been consistent this year. And if you look at Northwestern, they got the worst curse because they've lost three games since Nebraska beat them. But every time somebody plays Nebraska and whoops them, they end up getting beat. And, you know, unfortunately for Oklahoma scheduling, they had to play against the almighty Kansas State Wildcats. You know, Adrian hadn't looked that good up until that point this year. But by the same token, he really didn't have to because he's got a lot of solid players, you know, on his side of the ball down at Kansas State. And then, you know, on Saturday, he had a very good game. And that run that he had, that 55-yard run, you know, how many times do we see Adrian take off and you know, save the day on something like that? And he was he's an exciting player. So, you know, that's good for him. Now, here's the question I want to pose to you, John. So, you know, they talk Belichick and Brady. And, you know, which one was more important to the success of the New England Patriots? Okay, so I want to flip that. And the question I'm going to pose to you is that Adrian Martinez and Scott Frost, which one of those is most responsible for the miserable 4 years that the two of them worked together at the University of Nebraska?
Well, it's Scott Frost because he's the head coach. I mean, you always have to blame the guys up here before you start blaming the guys down here. And I resent that question because just today, what I do is I go on walks and I practice some of the YouTube videos I do. So people see me walking down the woods and on my trails and I'm waving my arms around and ranting. And I thought, you know, today I thought, why do we boil this down to one thing? Because it certainly was a combination of things. Here, we'll take a quick comment from Fred Sacco, who says, one signature win for Martinez doesn't mean he's still not an error-prone turnover machine. He's not a world beater. You know, that is true, Fred. We'll leave that up there a little bit. But that is true, Fred. But the thing is in 4 years in Nebraska, he never got one signature win under Scott Frost, or Scott Frost never got one signature win with him at quarterback. And it, right there in his first few weeks at Kansas State, he gets a signature top 10 win. I mean, that's something you can hang your hat on. I know they lost to Tulane the week before, but he played extremely well. And at the end of that 55-yard run, you'll notice he slid so that he could give himself up so nobody could hit him and knock the ball out late. And it looked like a guy who was comfortable with these teams, some of them being able to carry the load with him. So it wasn't all just Adrian. Obviously, he had a team around him. And I guess, you know, we're talking about him because I beat him up for 4 years. I mean, 3 years. I certainly beat him up last year. So, you know, I think when a guy has a good game and he does a good job, I think, I don't know, you got to tip your hat to him. Because I think that's the decent thing to do. And it looks like Kansas State is going to be a bowl team. So he'll get to go to a bowl game. And we'll still wait on Nebraska. I want to think of one other game I was thinking about. That was the big one. Let's say who else is in the West? You know, Penn State's actually looking pretty good. And they play Minnesota. Who do they play this weekend?
Penn State played, Central Michigan.
And yeah. Who do they play? They play in the Big Ten this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's Minnesota.
I think they may play Minnesota. In Minnesota over the years has caused some pain to Penn State when they've been ranked highly. Minnesota ended up ranked 21 this week. Let's see. I think that's all. What else? I keep thinking of a big game that obviously we spend hours in preparation for the show every week. Well, I do spend hours. I watch football. Okay.
Well, one more question for you, John, because after Oklahoma – you know, laid it on Nebraska. You know, people were trying to, you know, the pundits were trying to determine whether or not Oklahoma looked like a playoff caliber team. And, you know, Kansas State made them look relatively average, you know, normal.
Yeah, they did.
Right now, when you look at the Big 12 conference, Kansas State looked good, and now they've got a win over Oklahoma. And you also have Baylor that's looking pretty good at this point in time, and so is Texas Tech. So, you know, you're going to have to win the conference to perhaps make it into the playoff conversation. And right now, both Texas and Oklahoma are behind a few other teams in the conference.
You know, I also watched the Nebraska Nets Bowl and Iowa State versus Baylor. You didn't see that?
I watched a little bit of it. I watched, you know, it was just bits and pieces.
I guess I looked at both of those teams and went, well, they're both playing hard. I mean, they both. I didn't see anything really just stood out like one team was dominant and going to kill the other one. It was actually a pretty good game. Iowa State just couldn't. They just made enough mistakes to lose. What did it end up, 31-24 or something like that? I think it was a one-score game. Like, but I mean, both teams played well. Dave Aranda versus Matt Campbell. You know, I kept abusing people on Twitter. If Baylor would score, I'd go, that's a great job by the team that has Nebraska's next head coach. And if Iowa State would score, I'd say that's a great score by the team that has Nebraska's head coach. And people responded on Twitter. Some of them were having fun, but then some of them were very upset with me. But that one, I guess, you know, I think Baylor, Oklahoma got knocked off, Baylor coming in. I don't know. Baylor looks like they could possibly contend for the Big 12. The other big, huge game this weekend that I can think of is Miami of Florida. And I believe they lost as a 25-point underdog. Middle Tennessee State beat them, and it was one of the worst losses. Well, it's the worst loss so far this year for any college football team. But it was, I wept that it happened to Miami of Florida. I just went, oh, those poor guys. Gee, it's too bad. They suck. Let's see. We'll take this thing. Since we're talking about other football, Jack the Ripper, can Jimbo at A&M get his $95 million buyout this year? Hope so. You know, that is, if you want to talk about Mel Tucker having a shit ton of money thrown at him for no apparent reason. Whew, Jimbo Fisher, I don't know. Hell, I watched some of that game too. I should probably write this stuff down because I look like I'm stumbling all over the place. Oh, it was Texas A&M and Arkansas. And I was cheering for Arkansas in that game, and I thought, what in the hell is going on in my life that I am cheering for Arkansas? And it was because I just want to be able to laugh at Texas A&M when they actually have to, somebody throws money at that guy for and gives him $95 million to go away.
Texas A&M has never had trouble throwing money at people, and they usually end up quite disappointed.
It's a weird place. You know, I worked there once, right?
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah. For everybody else, when I was a teenager, when I was a young man, I used to go to Dallas and work for my brother's company installing professional sound systems and fire alarm systems. And in the early 80s, during the summers, I put the sound system and the fire alarm system into Texas A&M's Kyle Field Stadium. So I was around Kyle Field for like a whole, I think, two summers. And It's just a different environment, you know, the whole core thing and people dressing up like they're in the military. You thank God that Texas A&M exists, because if it didn't, all those people that went there would go to other universities, and they really just belong at Texas A&M. Okay, how about this week, Todd, the shocking news that I saw today or yesterday or last night, since I'm all over the board here, is that Nebraska is favored against Indiana.
Yeah, well, go figure. But Vegas has got to make somebody a favorite. And I suppose since Nebraska's playing at home, and Indiana has not looked all that impressive this year either, it makes sense that Nebraska's, you know, chosen to be the favorite. You know, it will be interesting to see what Nebraska, you know, what team shows up. I think that, you know, just like the week before the Oklahoma game, there's not enough time, you know, to fix everything. Now they've had the bye week, but, you know, they didn't get to practice every day last week because they had they had that 0 week game. You know, we anticipate, or I guess most people would anticipate, that, you know, defensively, maybe there are going to be a few changes with scheme. We can come back to this in a little bit. We know that there have been a few minor adjustments with the depth chart. I kind of wondered if there would be, you know, something more significant. Maybe there will be yet, you know, on game day. But it's,
you know, they have I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, I expect to see the defense play better than what they have. I mean, they can't play any worse. And I would like to think with another person that's making some decisions out there, you know, maybe they can do something a little bit different to perform better out there on the field, on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, they have released a new depth chart for Indiana. And I guess there are some changes. Okay, honestly, I thought Bryce Benhart wouldn't be starting at right tackle anymore, but Bryce Benhart is still starting at right tackle. Kevin Williams, who has spelled Bryce Benhart, is not listed in the two deep, which is kind of shocking. Ethan Piper takes over at left guard. Let's see, what else? I don't know if there wasn't any really huge shocking things, except for maybe some changes on the offensive line. Hunter Anthony moves up into the two deep at right tackle behind Bryce Benhart. Gabe Irvin now listed at Anthony Grant's backup because obviously AJ Allen has been injured and is out for the season. And I think one of the things people have been talking about lately is that how many players won't play because they want to keep their red shirt now. And I guess we won't know anything. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Oh, I understand what you're saying. I had not heard that.
Well, there's some speculation in parts, you know what I mean? In them regional parts or in parts of the nation that some players are going to just not play anymore so they can preserve their, because the changes in the rules have been that you can play in up to four games and still get a red shirt. And this would be Nebraska's fifth game, wouldn't it?
This would be Nebraska's fifth game.
You know, part of the problem is I worked on stuff too late this afternoon, and I was really stressed out about a server that was a critical server. And if I blew it up, it would have been bad because I would be up all night working on it. And I'm not good at that up all night shit anymore. And what happened was I thought, I'm going to be up all night anyway. And then when I went to work on it, what I thought would fix it worked in 10 minutes instead of the 18 hours I thought it would take. So my brain's still stuck over in that. Indiana right now is 3-1. They beat the season 23-20. They beat the Idaho Vandals 35-22. Idaho is a terrible team. They beat Western Kentucky 33-30 in overtime. And then they lost to Cincinnati, you know, Luke Fickle's Cincinnati, 45-24 this past weekend. So they are 3-1, but I don't know. I guess we're still favored. And I think the key to that game for us is making sure that we control the offense.
Yeah, the offense is going to have to move the ball. Mickey Joseph has already said that they're going to slow things down, you know, to give the defense some rest. I'd even heard some speculation that they're going to huddle up between plays. The only team I've seen in college football put their players in the huddle recently has been the Iowa Hawkeyes. But I think what's going to end up happening is, you know, they're going to slow things down and give the defense a chance to catch their breath when they're not out on the field and you know, hopefully be able to sustain some drives. I've always wondered, and you know, it isn't just Nebraska, but that's who I watch most. I think sometimes when you're going so damn fast, like anything, when you're going a lot fast, the room for error isn't quite as great. And maybe I don't know, maybe slowing things down a little bit will result in more success for the offense.
Well, here's the thing. They ran 78 plays against Illinois, 65 against Idaho, 90 against Western Kentucky, and 104 plays against Cincinnati. That is a crap ton of plays. And I think, you know, that's why the key, I think, for this game for Nebraska is really to see if our offensive line can, you know, just get 3 yards a carry, for God's sakes, and go for it on fourth down. I mean, I'm going to be anxious to see what we do. I mean, if there's any kind of change in motivation, change in where we want to win against. God, you can't believe I'm going to say this about Nebraska football. This is a good chance for Nebraska to actually win a game.
Well, you know, offensively, are they going to be able to have some kind of consistency? You know, and yeah. Oklahoma shut us down. Oklahoma flat shut us down. But up until that game, Nebraska had been able to move the ball. And I've got to believe that they'll be able to move the ball against Indiana. We got to stay out of these damn horse races because we haven't done well when we're playing against one of those teams that, you know, likes to go at warp speed you know, Georgia Southern and Oklahoma made it, you know, very obvious that we don't adjust real well under those kinds of circumstances.
You know what? I'm going to just show this just for the hell of it. We call this a therapy session. Brando's Sports World says, I'm having a tough time at my job lately, guys. If you had to start over and get into a new field with little to no experience, where would you go for a high-paying entry-level job? Where would you go, Todd?
Well, the there is high-paying. An entry-level job that's high-paying without experience outside of, you know, selling fentanyl, I'm not sure, you know, where you're gonna find something.
I heard only fans. We'll move on. You know, if this is a young guy actually asking a real question, what I was going to start over, I'll just take the first part. I'd go into cybersecurity. That's what I would do. I realize this, you know, not a really an entry level probably thing, but you have to be entry level in something. I mean, if you got the background in cybersecurity, that's where I would choose to start a career today, because nobody's ever going to stop attacking anybody. This thing called the internet, we thought was a fad a few years ago, it ain't going away. And you could work with people who can barely talk to other human beings. And if you can talk to human beings and translate for people that can't talk to other human beings, you will make shit tons of money in that job position. Other than that, man, I don't know. I got my kids asking the same question, or the youngest one.
Okay, you know, put that question back up.
Oh, my God, I lost it already.
Well, you know, high paying job. Okay, little to no experience.
Everybody else can help Brando.
How about head coach, head football coach at Nebraska? That seemed to be the criteria that we had for the last one.
I think you have to start out with a GA position for years where you have to eat macaroni and cheese, the cheap macaroni and cheese.
See, Fred Sacco and I were on the same wavelength. So.
Fred Sacco says, hey, Brando, Sports World just applied to be head coach for Nebraska football. Margaritas are on the house. Wow, such shots fired. Let's take some overtime. Wait, it's a calmer night today from everybody. Let me ask you guys a question if you're commenting. Did you guys take the weekend off, or did any of you watch college football? And if you did, say, yes, I watched college football, and let us know which games you watched.
Between the kids being home and hosting, everything in our house gets used up in summer. With Instacart, I can save money by stocking up on all my favorite summer brands. I save time by getting everything delivered in as fast as an hour. And I save myself a sink full of dirty dishes by stocking up on paper plates for the annual summer cookout. Save more on summer essentials. Spend more time enjoying summer. Add summer to cart. Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Paycor. Paycor empowers leaders to build winning teams. With Paycor, leaders can recruit, onboard and train employees, set goals, and drive performance. If you're a leader, everyone depends on you. Who do leaders depend on? Paycor. Learn more at paycor.com/leaders.
MK says, did we all just gaslit by NASA playing interstellar darts with an asteroid? And what's the chance that asteroid circles back around and ruins Nebraska's 2023 season? Well, if you didn't hear the news, NASA hit an asteroid that was like 7 million miles away with a spacecraft the size of a vending machine, which I think that's pretty cool. And they hit it so that they could avoid the don't look up scenario where there's a giant asteroid coming to Earth, or Armageddon, I guess, is the other one. And they're going to see if they could actually deflect a not an enormous asteroid, but a sizable, I mean, it was big. But chances that it circles around and ruins Nebraska's 2023 season, you know, given the luck we've had over the past 4 years, I'd say that chances are, 23%, which is actually phenomenally an enormous percentage of that thing blowing up our systems. Ooh. I watched Adrian drill the seniors and OSU put holes in the cheeseheads. God, I'm going to be anxious to see what this guy says, the Wisconsin guy, tomorrow, because before the season started, he said, I feel like this is a critical season for Paul Christ because Wisconsin really hasn't gotten, you know, they're a good team, but they haven't gotten over this hump. They haven't gotten any better. And he felt like it was a critical season for them to see if they could, you know, maybe get better. And his other concern was their classes were falling off by quite a bit. So, you know, Paul Chris could be on the hot seat this season. And that brings me to another thing. What a waste right now for Nebraska. I mean, you literally have a Big Ten West that's sitting there,
right?
Confused, complete disarray. Wisconsin doesn't know who they are. Most of the teams just are sloughing around. It's like they're fielding football teams because it's required to make money. And here's Nebraska sitting here with the worst team we've had. Is this that's just a horribly wasted opportunity?
Well, you know, when old Herb Street had predicted that Nebraska was going to win the West going into this season, if Nebraska, you know, really had it together and was the team that some people thought it was, they should be dancing through this you know, division right now. And, you know, granted, we've only played one school in the division, but, you know, you're right. It's a wasted opportunity. It's a chance for Nebraska to get on top. And who knows? You know, they're going to play Indiana this weekend. You know, maybe they'll get some things shored up a little bit, and maybe they'll be competitive in some games.
M. Gobosky, watched my Wolverines play a tougher-than-expected Maryland team. It was a good game, at least. Then I watched Florida-Tennessee. and Tennessee is in the top 10. And I have noticed on my YouTube videos that I have had a lot of comments from Tennessee fans, you know, commiserating with Nebraska fans saying, we've gone through this ourselves, where, you know, it was a long period since old Fulmer was around and they were a decent team. And now they're back in the top 10, and Tennessee fans can be the sons of bitches that they were born to be. Because, you know, I have a new respect for those people.
Didn't Tennessee hire a coach from Central Florida?
Yeah, they did. They hired a coach from Central Florida. Josh Heupel. You know, I have an autographed book by him somewhere in my house after he won the Heisman Trophy. Okay. Let's go with Tyler O'Connor. We should be doing what Minnesota is doing, which is be good and take care of business. I hate to go back to the Minnesota thing, but here's what is key about Minnesota. They know what they want to do. They really do. Their offense it's not fancy. It's not, they don't have 700 different plays they run. Their passing game is, I don't know, slant, 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 slant. Okay, throw it over the top and see what happens. I mean, their running game is pretty much inside zone. You know, you'll hear guys mention nickel duo, which is pretty much a zone play. But they just do it over and over and over. And, I mean, Mo Ibrahim is a hell of a back and can't be tackled by anybody. So I think that's the key with them is they know what they're doing. You know, and like I said I didn't expect their defense to be as good as it is. Okay, you talk for a bit. I'm tired. I know what you can talk about for a while, Todd.
Tell me.
Nebraska baseball played a fall game, and they beat Omaha like 9-1.
They played their first of two fall games, and a 14-inning game and against Omaha. And, boy, when you look at the starting lineup, and they took a lot of allowances in this game. They had 10 hitters in the lineup and, you know, just an opportunity to get players on the field. But over half of the players that started the game were new to Nebraska, which – that should be no surprise. They brought in, you know, 24, 25 new players this year between freshmen and transfers and portal transfers. So, you know, our good friend Aaron, who covers baseball on Corn Nation, wrote a nice article about what he saw up there. And it was a beautiful day to watch some ball. And, you know, Will Bolt and his staff didn't stand pat. They knew that they didn't have you know, the team that they needed to have to compete. And so they went out and they brought in some new players. So
what was Aaron's line in Slack? We have a center fielder.
Yeah. So we have a center fielder and yeah, you know, it's, you can tell you're in trouble, you know, for a baseball team to platoon center fielders, you know, you've got trouble if you're going to platoon center fielders, which is kind of what happened last year. But no, the baseball team, you know, it's they're checking out players and then you know, volleyball had a big weekend. They swept Michigan State on Friday and then they beat Ohio State 3-2. Which I understand was, you know, really a hard-fought game. I think Coach Cook had remarked about how they didn't play their best. There were a lot of unforced errors, but that was a game where they just really had to grit it out, and they were able to do that. And Ohio State beat them twice last year. So a very experienced team, and so nice win for the volleyball team. So – there are some good things happening, you know, for Nebraska fans. And, you know, we, And I guess there's some good things. You know, I saw that question go by. Go ahead, and you read it, John, and I'll.
Brett Baker. Hi, Brett. How you doing? Thanks for joining us. I went to Fremont to watch some winning football at Midland, not including gas. It cost me less than $20. Sat on the 50-yard line and had a blast. I don't know. That sounds like a shot at the entire Nebraska football team year. So, like, there might be other things going on out there except for Nebraska football. Brett Baker is a dangerous man.
Well, you know, Midland also hired Jordan Larson to be their assistant volleyball coach. And, you know, it's here's what I would say. If you like football, and if you like college football, there's good college football played at all levels. And, you know, if it's a nice day on a Saturday afternoon, you know, go out to Fremont and watch Midland play. And you know, I guess because I had a daughter who played Division III athletics, you know, it's they still play the game. And they play the game with passion and they play the game with heart. And you see a lot of the same offenses, you know, being run when you go to some of the smaller colleges as you do, you know, in the big stadiums. You see the same kind of defenses being played. You just see it played by guys that aren't quite as big and quite as fast as the ones that you're going to see, you know, in Ohio Stadium or at the Big House. So,
all right, let's see. Greg Flugar, why is Ben Hart playing tackle instead of guard? Minnesota recruited Ben Hart as an interior lineman. He has short arms and lower body strength without much upper body bend. Surprises me as he is at right tackle. If you're looking for an explanation of what we're doing on the offensive line, I really don't have one. I don't really understand what they're doing with some of these guys. I guess the only explanation I'd say is, why is he playing tackle instead of a guard? Because we don't have tackles? I don't know why we're playing the guys at tackle that we're playing. You know, why Hunter – was Hunter Anthony such a bust that he couldn't take over that position? You know, where did Kevin Williams go? We have a gob of bodies. Apparently none of them have developed enough to actually take over that position, which is kind of – I don't know. Well, I guess it's where we're at right now, isn't it? Okay, I had pinned another one. Here's M. Gaboski again. I hope – are you familiar with MGoBlog, Todd?
No.
MGoBlog is a Michigan blog that's run by a guy named Brian Cook, and it's giant. It was way back when we all started blogging. The guy started MGoBlog, and I think he's kind of an icon to Michigan fans now, which is kind of – interesting. Okay, M. Gaboski says, I think Mario Cristobal face planting. This is 4-0. Should show Nebraska fans that hiring the next coach is about getting the right guy instead of winning the press conference, which is, this is very true. There's another guy, Lance Leopold, who people, you know, you're kind of looking at them, and somebody posted a list of Kansas coaches that got their teams to 4 wins. And I don't, you know, it's like Turner Gill never did. Les Miles never did. It took Mark Mangino God knows how many years. And, it, you know, it went through the list of coaches, and then it showed Lance Leopold and how quick he's turned Kansas into at least getting game winning. So that's been interesting. All right.
You know, what else? The thing about it is there are fits. You know, I mean, even though, you know, think like Rich Rod, you know, back in the day, Rich Rodriguez, you know, I mean, he was Scott Frost before Scott Frost. And, you know, he had incredible teams playing. Well, of course, he had more of a track record than what Frost did. But, you know, West Virginia was lighting it up. He had a very innovative offense. And then he goes to Michigan and falls flat. And then, you know, he kind of landed on his feet down at Arizona and he fell flat. You know, sometimes being in the right place is just as important as, you know, maybe what you've you know, who you are or whatever. It doesn't surprise me that some of these guys, it doesn't work out in some places because they're not the right fit.
Okay. Troy Zugalati says, does this mean Frost was an idiot when he hyped Raiola? And I assume he means Raiola as the offensive line coach in Nebraska. Our offensive line is not good. And it hasn't gotten better under Raiola. And I'll just be blunt. He doesn't look like a good coach, a good hire at this point. So why did Scott Frost hire him? There's a lot of speculation that he hired him to try to get the younger Raiola that was Dylan, that was one of the top recruits in the nation that went to Ohio State. And, you know, Frost was an idiot. Well, I think we've all determined that Frost was just not even paying attention to his job. I mean, that's really, I could go up further into that, but I'm trying to move on.
But you know, John, you know, here's something, and I'm not an offensive line specialist by any means, but you know, the same people that were on the field, you know, for Greg Austin are the same guys that are on the field with Raiola. And, you know, so apparently they're the best players that we have on the team, or the other guys are just that much worse. What else do we have to prove otherwise, unless they put some of these guys out there and we can actually see, you know, what they can do. You know, I've heard for a couple of years now that Henry, I won't say his name right, Lukowski, you know, that he was a nasty interior lineman. But yet, has he had, you know, numerous snaps, you know, in out there on the field and, you know, time where they got the other team's ones? I don't know. But wow, the mystery to me is it's the same guys that we've seen for the last couple of years that are still out there.
Okay, you know what? I was wrong earlier. Minnesota does not play Penn State this weekend. Penn State plays Northwestern. So, and then Minnesota plays Purdue, Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan, Iowa should be interesting just because – you know, Iowa is a pain in the ass. Ohio State, Rutgers, that should be – all these games look fairly not close. Michigan State, Maryland.
I'll tell you what, the Michigan-Iowa game is always a good game when it's in Iowa City, always. And it does not matter where either of those two teams are ranked or, you know, what they've done up to that point. But, you know, it says here on one of the questions that Michigan – is favored by 10.5, but I'll tell you what, like I said, the Hawkeyes always play Michigan tough in Iowa City, and you know, who knows what's going to happen in that game. And Pat Fitzgerald has Penn State right where he wants them because they have done what they always do. They've gotten beat in the non-conference season by teams that shouldn't even be on the same field with them. And then once they get to the Big Ten Conference, switch comes on. I'm picking it right now. Northwestern beats Penn State.
I'm sorry. I laughed at you, didn't I?
Yeah, but that's okay because I'm kind of laughing at me too. But that's going to happen. That's my pick for the week.
Okay, Thongwei Reldman. Is because the coaches don't want to play the younger guys, even if they're better, for fear the old guys would leave and they'd be left with half a team. I don't know if that's – you know, I got to wonder because, you know, Frost was the coach. If he was still going back to that philosophy that Tom Osborne had where he – you know, we had 83,000 offensive linemen. You didn't really play on the field until you were at least a junior anyway. Because they, you know, they had those games where they just beat the shit out of. They put in the second, you know, stringers, and then the third stringers. Everybody got game time most of the year, and I don't know if he was clinging to that. I don't know if he was directing. Well, you know, the personnel hasn't changed that much this weekend. So, for fear the old guys would leave and they'd be left with half a team. I don't know. You're still losing games. He still lost his job. Even if he walked away with $16 million and took, somewhere in that range for Nebraska. Hey, Scott Frost still gets to live the rest of his life with the fact that he had his dream job and became the worst head coach in Nebraska football history. And, I keep saying I want to move on, but I will keep repeating that until I'm in the grave. Just because that guy, anyway, I have to hit the portal. Too much PBR, says Jack the Ripper. Somebody's still with the PBR this week, Todd.
I'm drinking Rolling Rock. I moved to Rolling Rock. It was in Sioux Falls this weekend. They had six-pack tall boys of Rolling Rock for $5.49 at Circle K. That's just too good of a price to turn down.
All right, what else we got? We went through volleyball. We went through baseball. Depth chart. Oh, my God. We've hit everything. We still have 10 minutes, Todd.
Well, you know what?
M. Gaboski, sure. Again, should Pat Fitzgerald be looked at for needing to be fired? No, because nobody at Northwestern would care. And I think he probably will be. I am guessing that after this season, he'll be looking for a new defensive coordinator.
Grab Blaine Cole's question
there. Yeah, I see that. What is your take on Nebraska's identity? What should there be their identity be? By Blaine Cole. It sounds like a memoir. Well, you take this.
Their identity should be that they're going to play sound fundamental football, and they play very physical on both sides of the ball. And, that's the identity that led to success, when Nebraska was good. And you can talk scheme all you want, but you can play hard-nosed physical football regardless of whether or not you're running, the option, or whether you're running the wing T, or whether you're running, some of the spread offenses that they are today. It's a mindset, and it's the process that, it's the philosophy that you're going to use when, you draw things up. I'm not a huge NFL fan, and I dare say that I watched more Green Bay Packers this weekend than I did anything else. But I found it really kind of interesting that the commentators kept talking the entire game about the fact that Green Bay plays about 30% of their offense with two running backs in the backfield. And, for most of my life, on the offensive side of the ball, you had two running backs in the backfield. I mean, it's not a new concept. And, Iowa has had a very punishing running game, and so has Wisconsin. And those two teams do not run the same offense. Nebraska could do the same. Their identity should be tough, physical football where they don't make mistakes and everybody knows what's going to happen. On the defensive side of the ball, same thing. Physical, fly into the ball, gap integrity, and not making mistakes. It's, in my opinion, that's the key.
I think you've got a lot of people, not a lot of Nebraska people, that are like, we need to go back to the triple option. And the fact is that even Tom Osborne run the triple option that freaking much. I mean, he had a whole bunch of plays, counters and traps and things. He probably ran the triple option about 20% of the time when he actually ran it. So, or the fullback. We need a fullback. I'm not a big guy that's like, we should run this scheme and then we'll be successful. I think it's all about having the right coaches in the right place that can develop players and teach them how to play the brand of football they want to. But Todd mentioned physicality, and that's key for our conference. I mean, if you're not going to be physical, you know what? If you're not going to be physical, what's going to happen to you is exactly what Minnesota did to Michigan State this weekend. They just ran over them. Remember the old days? Remember the old days? Todd? Where the joke, even Nebraska linemen will tell you that they didn't bother changing their calls from week to week, that they made up the line, right? When a quarterback walks up and shouts out audibles, they didn't change them because they didn't care if the defense knew where they were going. It doesn't matter the scheme of offense, but that is the type of physicality that Nebraska needs to get back to, and we are nowhere close to that. Obviously, we used to have an edge in strength and conditioning, and I think you probably could look at it a lot this year and say there's no real strength conditioning. That's another thing that's going to have to be rebuilt by the next coach.
I got a question for you, John, and maybe our listeners might want to pipe in on this as well. So when the dust all clears, and let's assume that, you know, we get to the end of the season, maybe we get a few more wins, maybe we don't. And whoever the new head coach is, Mickey Joseph, if he's made the full coach or the head coach at the end of this season, or whomever else they bring in, is the program in greater disrepair now than it was when Scott Frost arrived? Has the program fallen further in the 4+ years that Scott Frost was in charge, or in the 3 years that Mike Riley was in charge? That's a question that I've started wondering about a lot, because, you know, we all saw what happened when Mike Riley was here, but I don't recall nearly the issues and the concerns that I'm starting to see right now expressed about this team that Scott Frost had.
All right. Should I bring up this one? Troy Zugalotti says, can A.G. Peterson sue Frost and get our money back? Any lawyers around here? I don't think he'll be a lawyer to answer that. The problem with that is a bad business. You're right. Right now, you see coaches getting fired, and sometimes they're fired with us, and then they don't have to pay the buyout. The problem with firing a coach and then going and suing him, getting your money back, is if you wanted no guest to ever come to your program again, that's how you do it. Trev Alberts, when one of the media people or somebody asked him at the press conference, did you pay the full payout? And I think Trev Alberts answered something along the lines of, Nebraska is school, we keep our word. You know, that we do things the right way. And they just gave him $16 million to go away, and it's gone. And, you know, we could just move on. Okay, I had one other one. Yeah, I think that the program is in worse shape than it was under Mike Riley. Okay, you know what? We're going to take a couple more. Shane Coates, why would any coach want the Nebraska job? Solich and Pelini were run out of town after 9 wins. All the talk about top 3 coaches for the job is a pipe dream. Mickey Joseph is probably the best bet. Well, I'll keep that up. And Pelini were run out of town by idiot fucking morons that were athletic directors. That's really what that is. You know, Frank Solich got fired by Steve Peterson, who was an egomaniac. That's why he got fired. Not because he was failing miserably, although he probably would have, but it's because the athletic director who was in charge at the time was an egomaniac. And Sean Eichhorst fired Bo Pelini after a 9-3 season because he was more worried about NCAA client compliance and following rules. And, you know, another idiot athletic director that made a bad decision. So I think most people know that. You know, people bring it up, oh, you fired 9 win coaches. Yeah, I didn't fire them. The morons fired them. Why would we, you know, we've done this before. Why would anybody want the Nebraska job? We have money. We have a fan base. We have facilities. We do things the right way. What am I missing, Todd?
Well, we're
going to have
a nail program that's going to be effective. And it still is a brand. You know, Nebraska is a brand, and all of that kind of fits into that. And, you know, I'm not, you know, a gypsy with a crystal ball. But I think as we see college football at the top level move forward, you're going to see the top teams in the Big Ten, the top teams in the SEC, and maybe a few others that kind of separate themselves from everybody else. And Nebraska wants to be a player, and they're positioned to be a player in that. And they, the University of Nebraska is going to do whatever they have to stay relevant. And, you know, if Kansas can find Lance Leopold, if Iowa State can find Matt Campbell, and they can go into those schools and succeed, then Nebraska can too. And, you know, people can say about all the pressure, you know, it's so much different at Nebraska, you know, all the newspapers, all the media, all the attention, blah, 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 blah. No, it still comes down to recruiting quality players and coaching well. And, you know, that's why, quite honestly, you know, my top three coaches are still Dave Aranda, Lance Leopold, and Matt Campbell. All three of those guys, and, you know, throw in the guy from Wake Forest. Those guys have shown that they can win I guess it's only year one of winning at Kansas, but those guys have shown that they can win in difficult circumstances. And what's more difficult than Nebraska right now?
I'm going to bring this up, Todd, as our last comment. Hams.
You know,
do you remember
from the land of sky blue water? my dad, when I was a young child, my dad was a Hams drinker. Jacob, if I would have seen Hams for $3.99 in Sioux Falls, where I was at the Circle K, I would have had to give strong consideration to that. But you know, it's been a long time since I've had Rolling Rock, so.
Do you remember the Hams Bear outfit?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, back when we were in college in Nebraska in the 80s, a long time ago, one of our friends was, where did that come from? Somebody worked for a beer distributor or some damn thing?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember that.
Somebody had a Hams Bear outfit. And it was the Hams Bear outfit. And I remember one part. I used to live at 1219 New Hampshire, and I'm sure that house still has, it goes through generations of people having parties at that house while they were at Nebraska. And God, hundreds of people would show up to these parties and the place would be packed. But we would have one of our friends put on this Hams Bear outfit, and we would run him across over to Harper Schramm Smith, and he would run through all of the girls' floors in the girls' dorms. Was Smith the girls' dorm? Harper, yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Schramm was co-ed, and then Smith, he would run up and down through the door. He would run through every floor, and then he'd come back, and we'd literally see him running across we used to call it the rape lot, the behind our house, the parking lot behind, down the Russian Bottoms. I don't think there is one there anymore, is there? I don't know. Anyway, we'd see him come running toward us, and there'd literally be like 20, 30 women following him, and that's what the Hams Beer outfit, the bear outfit, would get us for our parties. All right, are we done? Is there anything else? Let's see. It's the beer refreshing. Some guy pasted an emoji. Oh, they accidentally put something up on the screen. Land of sky, blue waters. Dad loved Hams Tall Boy beer. That's because it was just a good, cheap American beer. You know what? It wasn't as bitter as PBR. It didn't have that union guy being fired.
Hams has a crisp taste. There's something about Hams that's just a little bit different than everything else.
I don't know. What do you think, Todd? Are we done? We've gone over an hour.
Yeah.
I can feel myself sweating.
I'm going to say one more thing, and I kind of alluded to this. Well, I did mention it last week, but now I've kind of put my thoughts together. I've had a little bit of time. And, you know, it's pretty easy to feel down and out being a Nebraska football fan. And, you know, it's sucked the last few years. There's no question about that. But, you know, I guess one of the things about being a Nebraska graduate and being a Nebraska fan is I've always kind of looked across the board. I'm as much of a volleyball and baseball and wrestling fan, basketball fan as I am. I'm a Nebraska fan. And that, you know, that's what makes Nebraska unique. And everybody talks about how Nebraska fans get behind their teams. But it just occurred to me, and you know, we kind of started something last year. I brought it up to John off the air that they ought to build a statue of Jordan Larson outside Devaney. And John started promoting that, and it kind of got picked up by some of the media, and who knows. But, you know, I want to have two statues outside Devaney right now, because our alma mater, the University of Nebraska, is the home to arguably the two best players in their individual sports in the United States in U.S. history. Arguably, Jordan Larson is the best volleyball player that's ever played for Team USA. And arguably, Jordan Burroughs is the best wrestler that has ever wrestled for the United States of America. And they're both from the University of Nebraska. So we need to have statues of Jordan and Jordan, Jordan squared, outside of Devaney. So about the time we're all feeling gloom and doom, we've had some great things happen at the university in our lifetimes. Everybody listening here today had opportunity to watch Jordan Larson and Jordan Burroughs compete. And good old Nebraska U.
Yeah, I don't know if we can end on anything that.
Well, good night, John.
We're done. Good night, Todd.